I don't know about you, but I'm just quite frankly tired of recession. Yeah. I just choose not to dwell there. I believe that God is far above recession. And I believe that this church is going beyond recession. Our missions program has increased. I just volunteered us, all of us, the women's ministry, at the WOW fundraiser on Friday night. And Lisa Gilfillan was raising funds to translate the WOW curriculum, which is a curriculum for women by women. And it's going into the earth all over the world. Joyce Myers is on it. Bobby Houston's on it. Darlene Check's on it. The who's who of women in the body of Christ are on that curriculum. It's an amazing teaching for women. Because so many of the women in the world don't get any. And so there's languages that it needs to be translated into. And it's only $5,000 to translate the entire curriculum, which you can smuggle in on an iPod into Saudi Arabia, into Lebanon, into those lands where the gospel is forbidden. There is the gospel on a little tiny iPod, and it's only $5,000. So I thought, you know, we can do this. If we just have a little box for Daughters Conference or for Women Rock Conference, and we just have a little box that says, all right, would you give $3 extra to your registration to go to the WOW? Would you do that? Because if we all did it, we could finance more than one language. We could probably do at least 3 languages, just this group of girls, just by donating $3 altogether. Isn't that an awesome idea? So anyway, I thought you'd like that, so I said we'd do it. Okay, so I signed us up. Goal. But if you don't shoot for something, you're never going to hit anything. If there's not a target to aim for, then you're aimless. And God has not called us to be aimless, but God has called us to purpose and fruit bearing. Has he not? It says Jesus told the disciples in John the 15th chapter, I've chosen you and I've appointed you to go and to bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. God doesn't want 2010 to just be another year. God wants 2010 to be a year of amazing, spectacular episodes and encounters with the kingdom of God. And that wherever you go, you bring the kingdom with you. And that the amazing, beautiful, incredible kingdom of God is in you, and you, darling girls, carry it with you. But if you don't establish goals, you're not going to hit anything. So Jess and I got together and we said, well, let's challenge the girls to establish 3 things. Now I've still got my notes for parables. And there's 13 pages of notes. Aren't you glad you're not in Bible college? There are spiritual goals that we want you to pray about. There are personal goals and there are family goals. So it is personal, spiritual, and relationship oriented. I looked back on my goals for 2008 as I was studying for this, Jess, and my goal was to lose X amount of pounds, you know, which I'd never been able to lose, and I did it in 2008. Chris, it's sort of slowly, you know, creeping back up, but I did it. I met a personal goal. Maybe for you it's going to be something, but there's 6 things that Jess and I in the next 30 minutes want to give you. You're going to write them down, and then you've got little cards. Jess, explain that.
Okay, so you'll have the little cards on your table afterwards with your table leaders and stuff, and you guys will fill those out. Once you've filled those out, you turn them into your table leader. Is there a leader at every table? I just want to make sure that there's a leader. Okay, and so if you turn those in, and then we can go back over them next year in the beginning of the year with the women's group.
But you're going to tuck them in your Bible.
Yeah, there's a little piece. If you could put it in your wallet, and every time you switch out your wallet, remember to change it into your new wallet so that you just kind of have it always. That was my problem. I lost mine, but thank goodness they had mine up on the screen at Shift. But the men all had theirs because they kept them in their wallets. So what a good idea. We'll use their idea. So when you change wallets, change that over into your new wallet, okay? And that way you just hold on to it. It's something that will be a reminder to you. Maybe when you're at the grocery store and you're pulling out your credit cards, that flies out. Well, there you go. It's right there, right in your face. You know what? I committed to God that I'm going to be better at this year, whatever your goal is to the King. So that will be with you in your wallet, okay? So that's how that part
will
work.
Okay, so we're going to give you 6 things to write down, to pray about, and then to write a goal down. Are you good? Is this good? Okay, number 1, if we're going to establish goals, we're going to have to get with God and pray. Because it's no good having your own goals. You want to know what his goal for you is. You know, Proverbs 16:3 says, roll your works upon the Lord, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So the first thing we have to do is get with God, because God has ordained for you to walk in certain places and to experience and to perform and to do certain things in 2010. He has appointments for you. He has appointments with destiny. He has appointments with the kingdom. He has all kinds of things he has already planned, because it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that he has preordained good works for you and I to walk in. And the word says the steps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. And it also says in Philippians chapter 2, it says that for God is at work in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure, right? So here's a verse, Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and you go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants to tell you what he wants you to do this year. He wants to impart into your heart a desire. And you know, how do I know it's God? Well, there was a great man of God, and his name is T.L. Osborne, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was an evangelist. He and his wife, Daisy, they traveled all over the world. They were in India, hundreds of thousands, crowds of hundreds of thousands, miracles, dead babies raised to life. I mean, just signs and wonders and miracles. T.L.'s famous. Jim and I were having, we were at a meeting with him, and T.L. took us aside, and he was teaching us about goal setting. And he said, how do you know if this is God? He says, well, it's simple. Is it good for God? Well, is it good for others? Then it's good for you. You see, God's goodness will be all over it. Because in the kingdom of God, everything multiplies. Everybody gets blessed. So in the goal that you're setting for yourself, it's not just going to affect you, but it's actually going to bring the kingdom and blessing to somebody else. So when you're praying and asking the Lord, you know, search your heart. What do you want? You know, don't go after false expectations or daydreams. That's why you need a deadline on this thing this year. Because a lot of us can just vicariously live through our daydreams, but they're unrealistic. You know, there is a great difference between the real and the ideal. And you can say, oh, I just want to do this, and I just want to do that. And you know, you're just having a daydream. Don't do that. Because between the ideal and the real, there's this vast amount called reality, right? And I remember 2 years ago, Jim bought me two little puppies. We were in Rancho Cucamonga, and we were at some little puppy store, and there was a little white Maltese, and there was a little Bichon, and they were the cutest little puppies. And I just said, oh, 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 we just have to get these puppies. Ideal. I saw them just on my lap. I saw them just loving us, faithful dogs to follow us for the rest of their days. Ideal. I saw them as dogs that would kiss us, lap it all up. We got them home. We had them for about 6 weeks, because the ideal wasn't anywhere near the reality. And we ended up giving them away, expensive pedigree dogs, because we had a daydream of what was ideal, but it wasn't real.
But those 6 weeks, 8 days of it were with me.
That's right. We tried to first give them to the kids. So get with God and pray. He's going to talk to you. Jess.
That's good. So we're talking about how to set your goals. And first of all, get with God. Because that's the most important. You can't start anything until you get with the King first. Because otherwise, if you surround yourselves with your girlfriend or your husband or your kids or the people in your world, your job, your boss, whatever, you're not really dedicating that time to God. You're going to be hearing all these other voices. So remember, get with God first. Number two, you're going to write it down. Are you writing it down? Because you need to write it down. And in Habakkuk 2 in the Amplified, it says, and then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out big in block letters so that you can, so it can be read and the run. The vision message is the witness pointing to what is coming. I love that. It's pointing to what's coming. So write it down. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. That's just like our King. How many times have you, you know, believed God for something and you've said, you know what, I'm going to do this, but He, you know, He's just taking too long. I'm going to do my own thing now. And you've changed your plans. You've worked the plans differently. Because how many of us women, we multitask and we do things on our own. And if it's not working our way, we just do another plan. I do. Every day my plan changes. So God is saying, write it down. Lock it in. Reserve it. Make a place for it. This is what you and I have talked about. And when I talk to you about it, and when you get with God, like Pastor Deborah talked about, the next step is to write it down, because then it's in writing. It's plain. It's in big block letters. There's no turning back from it. You can't return it. You can't take it back. Write it in pen. Okay? Do not use an eraser. Because when you write it down, it writes something on your heart. It writes something on the hearts of the people in your world as well. Whatever that goal is, all of a sudden it's not just coming out of your mouth. It's not just in your heart, but now it's on a piece of paper. Now it's on your, I put mine on my phone, actually. I actually have a goals list on my phone. And every time I get something good in the messages, I'm like, oh, new goal, new goal. And my husband's funny. He's been checking them. But making sure that I'm working on them. But you know what? That is good. You guys need to write it down somehow. We are in a new society, so technology is the way that people are doing it. But write it down. Let it become a part of you. Be accountable to run with the vision that God has given you. That means that you're writing it down. Without a target, you will hit nothing, like Pastor Deborah said earlier. You are looking around, trying to figure this thing called life out. The word recession, everything that this world is saying, the government, and everything else that you're getting day in and day out. You know the ones that had the junky day to day? Yeah, well, that can happen again tomorrow. But you know what? If that's your goal, and if that's your, oh yeah, I'm going to just stay at this job. Maybe God is speaking to you and saying, you know, I have something better for you. Keep your job. Be faithful in what you are doing in the little things, and I will take care of you in the big things. Write it down. Lord, I need a better job this year. Lord, I'm expecting for you to meet my bills in a new way. Whatever your goals are, guys, don't make them too small. Don't think He's a small God, because He's a big God. He can move mountains. He can heal the sick. He can restore the broken. And that means that He's not a respecter of persons. And what He's done for me, what He's done for your friends, what He's done for the ladies next to you, He's going to do in your world too. But write it down. Take the first step. Get with Him and write it down. If you conceive it, you can achieve it. You can do this. Don't sit there and say, oh, I've been a failure my whole life. My mom and dad were failures. I grew up in this poverty mentality. I know a lot of us have, because it's San Bernardino. Hello. Let's break that. Let's write it down and say, you know what? San Bernardino is going to be an awesome community with people that love God passionately. And there will no longer be this poverty mentality, but we're going to go and we're going to reach for what God has for us. We're going to see lives changed and souls changed. And you know what? You are going to be the one to make that happen. It's not too big for you to have a piece of it. But write it down. Make it your plan. Make it your goal. Make it your purpose. And put it in your heart and put it in the hearts of the people around you so they can see it too. In big block letters. Remember what He said.
That's so good, Jess. And number three, when you write it down, now remember, get with God. And if you don't want to do this tonight, then fill it out and bring it back to us. Because it might take some time for you to think about this. We said spiritual, personal, and relationships, family. So you've got lots of things to think about. Maybe it's going to be a personal goal. Is I want to really get healthy this year. I want to get in an exercise program, and I want to lose X amount of weight. So, number three, be accountable. You're going to have to own this thing. You're going to have to be accountable first to God, because you're talking to Him about this, to yourself, and be accountable to somebody else, to a friend. So we're going to talk about that for a second. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. I need to have people in my life that I'm accountable to. I need, like I said, when you're writing the goal down and when you're praying about the goal, realistic expectations are extremely important. Let's say that you weigh 800 pounds, which you I don't think you do, but, well, you're probably not going to lose all of that weight in 1 year. But you can start. You can begin. Let's say you've been single for so many years that you've lost all hope of ever getting married, but you still want to. Well, what's a realistic goal? Well, God's going to say, well, what are you doing to get yourself ready as a gift for a man? Are you physically fit? Would your body please him? Men look at that, you know. Don't think they don't, because they do. They just don't tell us. When we say, does my butt look fat? They say, oh, no. they roll their eyes. It's true. What is it that you want? Because you've got to be accountable. One thing is for certain about change. It's coming. It's not going to be like it was in the past. It's not going to be like we think. I'm talking about change. And it's going to change faster than we want it to. Everything's changing. The only thing that doesn't change is clothes and houses. Immaterial things that aren't alive. They get old and then you got to redo them. But you and I were born to change. So just because you failed in the past doesn't mean that you are going to fail now. You have water? Because you're really noisy. Sorry. So, you got to be honest with yourself. What do you need to do to see this come to pass? Some thoughts. You got to have a funeral. Some of us have to have a funeral. We got to bury the I can'ts. I got to say, okay, I'm going to bury I can't do this. This has not happened. God didn't answer this prayer. We're going to have a funeral, and we're going to have to go take that stuff, dig a hole in our backyard or in our toilet or wherever you can flush that thing and get rid of it, because it's a brand new year and it's a brand new opportunity for faith. And if you don't have hope, hope is what God has given us to put our faith to work on. And if you don't have something to look forward to, something that you know that you and God together can do, and that you and a friend can be accountable for, then what have we got? Because a life without a goal, what are we doing? We are just aimless and meandering through it. This is good for us girls. So, you're going to have a funeral, and you're going to have to be willing to do what you've never done to go where you've never been. So you want a goal? Then maybe some things have to happen in your life. I'm talking about being accountable. Do you have to go back to school? You want a better job? Well, what do you need to get a better job? Do you need to get some skills? Do you need to go out and start putting your resume out there? You want a husband? I already talked about that. What do you need, Lord? I want to get married. Lord, what is it in me that needs to get fixed? What do I need to fix from my physical to my spiritual to my personality? What do I need to do? Because God, I want you to work on me so I can be a blessing. So you're going to have to be accountable. To God, to yourself, and then find some friends. Find some friends that are going to believe with you. Listen, the righteous, it says in Proverbs 12:26, should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. If you want to know, somebody once told me, where you're going to be in the future, all you have to do is look around at your friends and look at where they are. Because iron sharpens iron. If I want to go where I've never gone, and if I want to do what I've never done, then I'm going to have to be willing to make some new friends. And I'm going to have to seek people out that know more than I know and that are succeeding where I want to succeed. Maybe somebody's lost weight. You know, you need to go find out, how'd you do that? Will you help me? So, who are your friends? Are your friends full of faith? Are they always full of doubt and unbelief? And everything that you think could happen, they always are putting it down. You see, God says, surround yourself with people that are of like mind. Surround yourself with people that are going to believe with you. Be accountable, but be accountable to the right people. The Message Bible says in Psalm 31:24, be strong, be brave, don't give up. Expect God. Expect God. So in other words, have people in your life that are going to believe with you and you can be accountable to, that when you slip and fall, they can hold you accountable. They're not going to make you feel bad, but they're going to help you get back up and get back on the goal. Number four, Jess.
All right. Well, good thing that little tingle went away. Number four, don't quit. It's easy to quit. It's hard to stay on course. It's hard to stay on track. It's hard when those things, like I talked about earlier, are coming at you in life. But don't quit. God says, do not quit. In Psalms 31:24 in the Message, it says, be brave, be strong. Do not give up. Expect God to get here soon. You guys have a purpose and a destiny and a reason you're here on this earth. But listen to this. If you quit, then you're never going to fulfill the goal and the plan that God has laid out before you. You were known in your mother's womb before she even knew about you, which is amazing because I'm pregnant and I was planning it. So I was like waiting every day, like, okay, is the baby here yet? Am I pregnant yet? But to think that God knew this child before I even had an idea that I was even going to get pregnant, God knew. That means little Titus in my stomach already has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny. God has already laid it out before him. And just like that, no matter how you were born into this world, God has that for you. That means that you have a reason for being here. And God wouldn't give you a reason and then say quit. A reason to fail, a reason to give up, a reason not to have a purpose, a reason not to have a plan. No, God says, I have a reason and a purpose for you, but I need you to get with me. I need you to write it. I need you to be accountable to it. I need you to put in your heart that I'm not going to quit. You're not going to quit, girls. Whatever your goals are, those are God-given goals, God-given reasons for what he needs you to do in your world, because the people in your world are who you're supposed to reach. I cannot reach the people in your world. Pastor Jim and Deborah are not going to go with you before the king, and you're not going to hear God say, well, well done, Pastor Jim and Deborah, because they get in because of you. No, you're going to approach that throne yourself. And listen, don't quit, because the enemy, that's what he does to us. I love Pastor Henny Bosman. He's my brother-in-law. And he always says that if the enemy cannot get you to fail and to sin, he'll just keep you busy. Be careful, girls, to not get your mind off of your goals and to let down and go, you know, it's just easier for me to go back to what I was doing. It is always easier to go back to the old plan, the old way, the comfort zone. Whenever you're in a comfort zone, be careful, because God will always rip you right out of it, because he always needs to keep us fresh. He needs to keep us going. He needs to keep us moving. He needs to say, take that next step, daughter. Come on, you can do it again, daughter. Come on, daughter. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. Maybe you're feeling old. Maybe you're saying, I've been hearing this a lot from my parents, but now they're finally embracing it. We're just old. I hate that. No, you're not just old. You're blessed and highly favored. You have so much to give. You are just coming into a new season. You have a new purpose and a new destiny. Every season has its place. Every woman in this room is the age you're at in the time that we are in now for a reason. Don't quit. Don't give in. Oh, well, I'm just too overweight. I can't fix it. No, you can fix it. You can do it with Christ. You can do anything with God. Maybe you say, well, oh, you know, I've been believing God for like, I know one lady, 15, 16 probably now, years celibate. Wonderful woman. I love her. And you know what? I know her man's right around the corner, because I know she's been faithful and I know God sees her and she hasn't quit praying for him. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Don't quit. Take that next step, girls. You know, it's funny, Churchill said that the nose of a bulldog is slanted backwards so he can breathe without letting go. And I think we have a picture of it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not letting go of what God has told me to do. Don't let go of what God has told you to do. If God can do that with the bulldog, he can do it with you. You be that bulldog in your arena, girls. You be that bulldog in your home, girls. If you're believing for your kids to come home, don't give up. Look at me. I am actually an answer to prayer. Look at my sisters and my brothers. We are all answers to prayer. Do not give up. Do not quit. Do not let go of the promises that God has given you. Those goals are not just goals, but they are promises. They're blessings for your future. They're blessings for the people in your world. So hold on to what God has for you. Do not quit. Do not give up.
So good. You know, God has a good plan for us. He says, I have a plan of good and not evil to give you and bring you hope and an expected end. Where did we get the idea that serving God and living for God was going to absolutely make our lives just dry up and be boring? Life doesn't even start. We don't even wake up. The princess does not even wake up until the prince kisses her, and his name is Jesus. And then life begins. The best years are ahead of you, whether you are young or whether you are old. And just so that you know, I don't think old is bad. I'm brand new at getting old. But I am determined to do it well, because I'm proud of being old. I don't think it's bad. I'm not young. I'm not 20. I'm not 30.
But you're
not
old either.
I'm going to be 60. And when a 20-year-old looks at a 60-year-old, they are old. But why is it bad?
But when a 20-year-old looks at a 30-year-old, they're old.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with being old. If anything, it's a badge of honor. I'm getting gray hair. Danielle's about to come and wash it all away, and I'm thinking, I kind of like this. Don't quit. God has a plan and a purpose for us, but we've got to plug into it. Number five, if we're going to write these goals down, we're going to get with God first, write them down. My gosh, God says, don't quit, don't give up. He says, be accountable. Number three, don't quit. Number four, number five, be diligent with the goal. Diligent. Oh, that word, what does it mean? It means hardworking, industrious, thorough, careful, persevering, tireless, nonstop, never ending, unremitting, constant, and relentless. Let me say it again. Diligent. What does it mean? Hardworking, industrious, thorough, careful, persevering, tireless, nonstop, never ending, unremitting, constant, and relentless. You don't quit, like Jess said. You don't give up. But diligent means that you put one foot in front of another and you continue. You continue regardless of what the circumstances say, what your mirror says, what your out-of-faith friends may say, what your husband may say. Maybe your goal is, I want to have a marriage that's made in heaven. I want my husband to love me, and I want my kids to serve God all their days. Maybe that's a family goal. Well, then that means you're going to have to learn how to do the four commandments for the wife, and you're going to have to do some research and let God do some work on you, because until you change, nothing will change. Because it all is about us and the heart. It's not about him. It's about me. Remember, if you spit at me, you don't make me mad. You make me wet. How I respond determines what's going to happen in my life. I can respond and react, or I can respond with creativity and love. All depends on me. So diligent. Okay, Proverbs 12:24. Let me give you scripture. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. In other words, you're going to go down, not up, with laziness. In our culture, in our world that we live in, wants to make excuses and just get by. You want a better job? Then be diligent to make the one that you've got right now, make that boss look so good that they can't help but promote you. And you're not working for them anyway. You're working for Jesus. And he's the one that's going to promote you, because promotion doesn't come from the south or the west or the east, the word of God says, but it comes from God. It comes from the north. But I'm going to have to be diligent on the job to be the best worker I can be. You want better skills, and you're going to have to be diligent to do something about it. Nothing just happens. William Carey was a missionary to India. He's called the father of modern day missions. William Carey was born in England in the 18th century, and he was a shoemaker. He wasn't this rich, industrious, sophisticated man. He was quiet, he was studious, and he was a cobbler. But he had a burden for India on his life, and he sailed to India, and there he lived in India for the rest of his days, and he only, it was reported, only got about one or two people saved. But this is what William Carey did, and this is why he's called the father of modern day missions. Because William Carey studied the language of India and translated the word of God into their language. Now, this is what happened. One day on the docks where his warehouse was with all of his dictionaries, all of his work, his life work, there in his warehouse, there was a fire and it all went up in flames. Now, in the 1700s, there was not carbon copies of anything. It was all handwritten. And so William Carey lost it all. And this is what he said. The loss is heavy, he wrote. I'm talking about diligence. But as traveling a road the second time is usually done with greater ease and certainty than the first time, I trust the work will lose nothing of real value. There are great difficulties on every hand, he once wrote, and more are looming ahead. Therefore, we must go forward. Listen, you got to start somewhere. You take a step and you go forward. And you take another step and you go forward. But you consistently, unremittingly, relentlessly continue. When asked what was the secret of his success, this is what he said. It's simple. He said, I simply know how to plod. Do you know what that word means? It's an old English word that means you put one foot slowly in front of another. It's plodding, walking, but walking slowly, but you're walking. And you know, sometimes that's all we can do. But if we're on our feet and we're walking, we're going to get there. So number five, be diligent.
Very good. And number six, be grateful. It's so easy for us to put on our sourpuss face and just be naggy and crabby and womanly sometimes. I don't know. How many times have I heard my friends say, you know, it's just that week. No, come on. You know what? Let's have a heart of gratitude before the King. Let's change that. We can choose to be women that no matter what's going on in our world, no matter what's happening with us, we know who we are. We're the daughter of God. And we can say, you know what? I'm changing. I'm not going to let myself go there. I'm grateful for what he's done today. I'm grateful for this situation because if I wasn't in this situation, there wouldn't be a godly outcome in the end. You always can turn it around and change your perspective on what's going on. And when God gives you that goal, when God gives you that purpose, and when God puts those people in your world and you're going, why are they in my world? Well, maybe God needs you to thank him for them. Maybe they need someone to pray for them, and you're the one to do it because God wants and knows that he can trust you with a grateful heart. See, when we're grateful, I believe it unlocks heaven. It unlocks blessing. It unlocks the goals and the purposes and the destinies that you're going to be writing down and that you're going to be facing this year. It's going to take care of that heart that wants to go, ugh. Maybe you get a bill in the mail. Have you ever gotten a bill in the mail and you're like, ugh? And your heart kind of drops because it just, it's like gripped by the amount and you're going, how did this happen? No, I paid my bill or whatever has happened. I know that happened to us. And I was like, this did not just happen. I paid this. I'm good at paying my bills. And I just remember the Lord saying, calm down. Be grateful. I've always met every need. Give them a call. And when I called and I calmed down, I'm okay. I'm going to be nice to the person over the phone. Not going to chew their head off.
Might have been one of you, yeah.
You know what? God put it all back in place. Oh, we're sorry. It was our mistake. Da, 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 da. You guys have been a faithful customer. And I was like, whew, I'm glad I listened to the Holy Spirit on that one. But listen, you guys, be grateful. You know, I am now a new stay-home mom as of January 1st. And nobody ever thought I would not work in the office. And it's been different for me. But God gave me this goal last year, January. I remember sitting in the prayer meeting over there in the main sanctuary, and God said, get ready, you have a year, and you're going to go home and be with your children, and you're going to have a child. And he did tell me it was a boy, but I was believing that it was a girl. And then when Titus came, we found out it was a boy. And I just remember going, wow, God, this never happens like this. It takes me forever to get pregnant. I got pregnant right away. Everything is starting to put back in place. When January 1st came, I was kind of like sitting at home going, I'm not too grateful. I miss my office. And I miss the people I get to love every day. And my kids are driving me crazy. Like, where's their grandmother? And I just remember the Lord spoke to me and he said, aren't you grateful that you get to be the one to now give them the answers when they have questions? And aren't you grateful that you don't have to get up at the butt crack of dawn anymore? Because I did have to get up to get them dressed, to get me dressed, to get everybody going, to get everybody lunches. I don't have to do that anymore. It's really kind of nice. And you know what? Aren't you grateful that I'm going to meet every need while I've asked you to take this season? And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, I'm grateful. This is good. What am I thinking? I'm going to be here, God, and I'm going to take this season, and this is my new goal and my new purpose and my new destiny during this time in my life. And let me tell you something, every single day that I have been home since January 1st has been overwhelmingly good. My kids are the most amazing children in the whole entire world. And every word that comes out of their mouth, I just cherish it. It's like I could put it in a little box and save it for later. And if we're like that, and my kids are very grateful because that is my thing. I teach them every day, what are you grateful for today? At the end of the day, we talk about that. What are you grateful for today? Because that's my thing. I am so grateful to God for everything. And when they talk about it, well, I'm grateful that Daddy came home from work and gave me kisses. Or, I mean, they have the cutest little things. Well, I'm grateful, Mom, that you're home now. Or I'm grateful, whatever they're grateful for. And just like I lock it up and I want to put it in my heart forever, I know God hears your grateful hearts. And he's up in heaven and he's putting that little box together and he's waiting for you to tell him what you're grateful for today. And he's going to put that aside. And when the Lord knows how good and faithful you are to him, he's going to nurture you and love you and cherish you and take care of you the way I do my children. Because I adore them with everything inside of me. But can you imagine how much more our Heavenly Father adores us? And just to hear a grateful word come out of our mouths for our King, that will bless him on a daily basis. That will not just bless him, but you watch, it will bless you. So remember to keep a grateful heart through these goals and through this season and through this year. Because it's not easy to have the goals. But you guys, be diligent in your goal and be grateful when you do it. Because God will bless you above and beyond what you can even hope, dream, or imagine.
So good. You're so good. She was such a little monster, too, when she was a teenager. So, get with God. Pray. He'll talk to you. He wants you to zero in on what he wants for your life this year. And dream big. He's a big God. It's not too late. Write it down. Be accountable, which means we got to get honest. It may not be easy, but sometimes change means you got to get honest. You got to take a good look at where you're at so that you can get to where you need to go. It's okay. He'll help you. Be diligent. Don't quit. Number four. Number five, be diligent. And number six, be grateful. Be grateful because he is an amazing God. And I remember when Jess was born. My goodness. 30 years ago. It was a snowy night in Lake Arrowhead, and I just married Jim, and it was 11 months. We'd been married 11 months. And I remember she came into the world, and I just remember having such hopes and dreams for her, praying over her, just holding her, nursing her. And now she is a pastor, serves God with all her heart, married to an incredible man. She's nursed her babies. They're incredible. She's gone through hell and back. She's had experiences. You've got a testimony. Nothing's been perfect. This isn't a perfect family. We've shared our testimony. But God is. He's able to restore. And he's able to do the impossible. So you moms, you hold on. Don't be afraid to set your goals high because God wants you to raise the bar in 2010. We love you with all our hearts. We're proud of you.